Welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. You might listen to the first 12 minutes of this conversation today and think, woo-woo. But a number of years ago, I heard, I think it was Joe Vitale, say that woo-woo means anything is possible. I want you to keep that in mind as you listen. Mari is my guest today because I've had a few incidents over the years that seem to defy explanation. If you really think about it, good chance you have too. Neophyte about explains my knowledge of Mari's intuitive abilities, but she suggests that we, you, at this age, are ripe for our energetic side to take the lead. One little aside. I think Mari is my sister by another mister. She talks as fast as I can and covers umpteen thoughts in 10 seconds, just like I can. Listen now. Gut feelings, intuition, the universe. By this age, most of us are acquainted with whatever you call those times when you know something. My guest today says if God or the being of your understanding created so many religions, modalities, and way to pray and ask for things, wouldn't this being also create an equally robust way of getting the answers back to you? Back to us, sorry. Mariana also says we have an entire dashboard of frequency-based abilities that we're all born with. She calls it 5D frequency and says those abilities are meant to be fully integrated with our physical 3D senses and abilities and used throughout our day on all aspects of our life. If I've got your attention or curiosity, then yay. And now I'll admit I needed to copy a lot of that intro from my guest's profile. I really have no idea what I'm talking about. Today will be a learning curve for all of us. Mariana Cooper, Mari, welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey.
Oh, thank you so much. I love that intro. I love how everybody does it a little different. That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm so happy to be here. Exciting.
I'm going to be letting you do most of the talking today because most of this is quite out of my bailiwick. Now, you say you're a third generation intuitive. Can we start there?
Sure. My mom and my grandmother were both highly intuitive. Neither one of them was particularly professional. Actually, my mother was a psychotherapist, but she ended up in her therapy sessions using channeling and not saying, okay, to her therapy, to her clients, I'm now going to channel for you. But she would come. We had a office off our kitchen where she did her work, and she had a separate entrance for it. And she would, she'd say, okay, I have a private session. I have to go. And, all those kids who had to, stay in the kitchen and be quiet during while her she was in session. And she said she would go in and she would be kind of heavy and she would feel like, the patients were going through their things. A lot of times she's doing like, say, marriage counseling or whatever. And she said, I would sit and I would listen for a while and then I would feel like something would shift. And I would know exactly, I would have this knowing of what to say. It what even as highly decorated with her degrees and her PhD and all that stuff, she felt her way through her sessions, and the information that she needed to say felt more of a flow versus a mechanical, listen, respond, cause, effect. Additionally, she was very curious, and so she read at the time back in the 70s. Well, I guess it was the 70s and eight. It was really the 80s. Shirley MacLaine came out with a mini series called Out on a Limb. And she introduced the world, kind of the mainstream world, to these spiritual principles that there is something else out there. She opens up the movie by saying, I always, she goes, it's a magic hour in Malibu is, and she was walking on the beach. That was the opening scene. And she goes, it always makes me wonder who I am and where I fit in. And that was her journey into her 40s. That was Shirley MacLaine's journey into her 40s. And She, of course, she did that mini series way after her 40s because it was a biographical kind of reaccount. But my mom actually went and studied with her when she came, when she was going through that quarter, because she started teaching at, spiritual topics and kind of came off the politics and the, the Broadway and the singing and the acting and all that. And she was kind of in this self-discovery mode. She got quite criticized for it. It was a rough time in that time to start to introduce, like, is there something more? But she was asking very classic questions, but getting a different, more elevated set of answers. So I, being in my young teens at that point, tweens, teens, as she was coming up through that, I was kind of influenced that by that. My grandmother also was highly intuitive. She would take me to health food stores way before Whole Foods was ever invented. She taught me about kind of like what I call a high frequency lifestyle. So she was very much about, watch for additives and watch for preservatives and you're better. I had a horse at the time. She make me get organic carrots for him. And I knew the difference between organic and non-organic at 5 years old, so I was kind of being shaped into this thing, but so those were two influences from my childhood. However, everybody has a point where they step onto what we call an awakening path, on a path where your intellect and your life clash. Like your intellect can't solve this problem. There's just, it could be someone passes away that's untimely. It could be a sick child. It could be, a job loss that's sudden. It could be, a money crisis or a health crisis, personal health crisis. It's usually something that's pretty heavy duty. It could be not being able to find the person that you really want to spend the rest of your life with while everybody else around you does, and sometimes the corridor to into that space is a positive one, but I can't say that a lot of people come to me for help and say everything's working out perfectly and now I need to know how to channel my higher self. You know what I mean? It's really where our intellect now has gone to the end of its toolkit and it needs something more. For men, I say they'll call it more of their gut instinct. For women, they'll call it their intuition as far as what they're tapping into. But I find that in our age range, it was before the kids coming in now, they don't need a lot of this education because they have it. They know, they have that knowing, they're a lot more confident. They're coming in with, more avant-garde resources. They have internet, they have AI, they're computer. But for us, that inciting incident is where we kind of went against the ladder of society that we were framed out that this was the right way to live, and then this is not the right way to live. Like by this age, by 25, you should have your 2 degrees. You should be on your way to getting married. If not married, you should marry a guy who's taller than you. You should marry a guy, not anybody who's your same sex. You should be the same race. He should be taller. You should be shorter. You should be 2 years apart in age. If he's too close, and the woman should be younger and the guy should be older, and you should be dating for a year, then engaged for a year, and then married right after that, and pregnant within 2 years of that, and then have the second baby, and all of it before you're 30. And if you do any of this opposite, there must be something wrong. And the in-laws should be, living on the same street. There's so many things, right? We had frameworks. The kids now don't. They don't have that predestined, and anything that being, if they are, they're being held to a 70-year-old standard and they're balking at it. Like, that's why COVID, why do I have to go to a 9-to-5 job? Why am I supposed to be miserable for 30 years so that I can be happy for 10 years before I die? Like, what does that mean? Like, what is that? So they could say, no, I'm not doing that. What do you mean a hard day's work for a hard day's pay? How about a passionate day's work for a passionate unlimited income? Why do I have to work for somebody else? So these are energetic evolutions, right? That these are where we step off of our 3D There's a distinction that I make, 3D and 5D. 3D being our third dimensional physical, mental, intellectual reality, and 5D being that hidden energetic reality that straddles alongside of integrates with our 3D existence. So just to circle back to my incident of where I really stepped in, there were two particular gateways. The first was just my mom was always taking me when Shirley MacLaine had channels in her movies. So she would go to these people and they would, they would channel these otherworldly beings and they would have all kinds of esoteric information and predictions and what have you. And that became kind of part of her toolkit as far as getting to know herself energetically. So my mother decided she needed to do that too. So she would take me, instead of me going to the mall or to fashion shows, we were going to channeling sessions in people's basements who were figuring out this channeling thing, and crystal stores and metaphysical bookstores and what have you. So a book dropped into my lap, just like it did off the shelf in Shirley MacLaine's movie. Now I'm in my teens and this is happening to me. And it was a book called Living in the Light by an author named Shakti Gawain. And she was a very popular spiritual leader back at that time. And she was my first, like, I read that book from cover to cover that night. And I dreamt of dolphins for like 2 days. And it was just one of those, like, wow, there's something more, and it ultimately, 25 years later, she was on one of my shows. And when she did her 25 year of publishing that book, because it was such a classic, iconic spiritual book, she ended up being on one of my shows as one of my guests. So that was really prolific to have her, at that 25 years later. But the second, so that was a pretty positive, just discovery, like there's something there who's trying to get a message to me. Ooh, The next time, though, that I had a major, I would say the biggest one where it really shaped my career was when my fiance passed away. So I was in my early 30s, and when he passed away, I remember going to his funeral, and of course, it was so untimely. We had every dream in the world. We were supposed to be the very first wedding at Walt Disney World when they started doing weddings, and of course, that got canceled. And it was a really dark, heavy time. But I went around to mediums the whole year after he passed away because I wanted to be able to. I just knew there was something I needed to be able to talk to him. I registered for. I don't know. I was on the waiting list for several major, like world-renowned mediums, had probably six or seven different sessions, and every single one of them said, we can't bring him through. He wants to talk to you directly. And that hadn't happened in their sessions before. I mean, these people had waiting lists and, some of them were year long. And I ended up going to a class, and long story short, found out that I could indeed read, not only what he was saying, but the whole class, the teacher ended up giving me pictures of everybody's people in the class that had passed away because it was a mediumship class. And she wanted us to do readings for each other. And nobody could do the readings, but I did all the readings for all the people in the room. So it wasn't just my fiance who I did readings for, it was all the other people too. And people were crying and oh my God. And so that's when I realized that my relationship with him, even though it ended on a physical level, was still very much intact on a frequency-based energetic level. And I would get, like, kind of what we call downloads of advice, downloads of conversational chatter or chats with him. And it started to shape, how I would make decisions. And if I couldn't figure something out with my intellect, I would tap into him. Eventually, that evolved out of being to, someone I knew. And I realized, okay, we have our own higher self. We have our own energetic aspect of ourself that overlays over our physical self. And that one, like your mental mind, your 3D mind, can't get its own new ideas. It's not creative. It's not any new idea you're getting, it's actually being downloaded from your frequency side, from your infinite side, from that side that has access to your whole, warehouse of infinite things, that side of you is what sends the idea over to the 3D side of you. And then your intellect says, oh, I have an idea, but it didn't come. Your intellect is really built to focus on the past and what you've already seen before, what you've seen other people do before. That's why when you go on Amazon, you always want to read reviews. You don't want to be the first one to try something. You want to make sure that 2,000 people have tried it, 500 people bought it this month, 700 people bought it last month, and now maybe, just maybe, it might be for me. That's the mental mind. Your higher self would be like, get that one. Oh, and by the way, it's on sale. Oh, and by the way, it's right there for you. Oh, and by the way, I can get there today. That your higher self skips all the rigmarole, and your 3D self puts you through more rigmarole. Because that's what it's kind of conditioned to do. So I know I've kind of rambled on for a while, and that probably answered a few of the questions on the list, but.
Well, no, what made me curious was when those messages come through that we think, oh, I just realized what I need to do. Why is that is it an accident? Or is it because most of us don't know how to tap into the 5D?
There's never an accident, but I will say I have a there's a few frameworks that I talk about, and one is the anatomy of the aha moment. And I think if I explain that to you, those steps, it's this quick, easy thing, then it'll start to give you a little bit of a premise of a little framework of how it works from a non-physical to a physical perspective, and then we can jump off from there. So the anatomy of the aha moment, everybody loves aha moments, right? That's when you just like kind of what you just described was like, oh, wait, I got an idea. You know, like I had an aha moment, like something seemed to connect, you know, like something that seemed bigger than my intellect. Not quite sure where that came from, but here it is. So, and it feels good. There's something about it that feels good. Like even as you describe it, because you're remembering times that you had it, your whole skin tone changed. Like you lit up, as you said, yeah. You know, like you get an idea,
But
and I
we
feel.
take credit for that as well, should we?
Look,
Okay.
that's part two of the question. Let me get to part one, and then I will say yes, you should, because it's all coming from you. It's just the energetic side of you versus the physical side of you. Okay, so. One precursor to the anatomy aha moment. Most of us have started in some sort of formal religion when we are brought up, especially in this age range. We were introduced to whether it's Jewish or Catholic or Christian or Lutheran or whatever. And so most of the religions, the formal religions, I have studied quite a few of them, focus on the premise that we're these physical bodies and that's our primary. And then there might be something spiritual within us, like our soul. And the primary is the physical body and the physical intellect. And that's like the leader and that's the smart one. And then this soul thing that only a priest, a rabbi, a minister can help us to connect to, you know, if we do something right, or if we have cancer, or if we're gonna have a baby, we can call on this thing. But if we don't waste its time. Unless it's really like a big thing, like you're broke, you're about to lose the house, you might as well pray, you know, but anything in between, don't be blasphemous, you know, that kind of thing. So it's this conditional, needs a middleman to get in touch with it, needs you to go and sit and take communion and sit and go to the booth and talk, you know, the confession and get 10 Hail Marys and four Our Fathers and all the things are. Until you, that's the only way you can get access to this thing. And even then, it's conditional of how much answers you get back. But that's not really how the energetic physiology is structured. It's really that we're an energetic being, this big giant ball of swirling energy. Then that takes on, lets a little piece of itself inhabit a physical body so we can have a physical experience on Earth. But we're still an infinite, never dies, energetic being first. And then it's like literally like we arrive in London and we have to go rent a car. Okay. And we go rent the car and we get in the car. but we still have a life back in the United States, right? Like we still, so it's this, you take a small portion of yourself that gets in the physical body to animate it. Otherwise, if you lose the animation, that animation, the body just sits there, right? It's just, we're just a car. So you get in the car, you turn the car on, and on that dashboard, you have a dashboard, you have operating tools. And as you get in that body, in our body cars, we have our physical side of our dashboard, 3D, which would be, include our mental and intellectual and analytical abilities, includes our physiology and our biology, it includes also all of the negative emotions, blame, shame, guilt, fear, anxiety, all of that. And it includes a recorder to record what we've done. So we know we have a past, we know how to keep ourselves safe. And that's governed by the 3D, what we call the mental mind or our intellectual mind. It's there to be a logistician to help us logisticize our march around, our drive around the planet, to keep us within the law, to take care of us and keep us safe. That's the primary goal, is to get around life and keep us safe. Right. On the other side of that dashboard is a whole other side. We are equipped with travel size versions of what we can do when we're not in body. So we have our ability, and that's what we call our energetic side of our dashboard. This is meant to be going along side by side. And in fact, it's meant to be used 80% of the time. It's the engine of a lifetime in a body. It's not just the mechanics. Right? It's the navigation, it's the satellites, it's the navigation, it's Siri, right? And so you have these a whole suite of energetic abilities that you're born with that were meant to support the physical abilities and actually be leaned into 80% of the time. Physical is meant to be 20%. And that includes our energetic communication system, which is how we, communicate from the non-physical to the physical side of ourselves. Our ability to do self-healing, our ability to do what we call manifesting, where we, get things that we need that we don't have already, but we do it through energetic means. And there's several other things. I won't, stretch this out into like a whole masterclass, but the fact is that you're coming in with a package with only half the operating manual. Because our parents, especially in our age range, our parents are very focused on get through the structural world. We were going through women's rights, civil rights, world wars, all kind of, there was a construct of society that was a lot about protection and survival and structure and making sure that we got from one end to another. I mean, the Polish people were immigrants, the Italian people were immigrants. There was a lot of the Japanese, there was a lot of infrastructure that was being set up during that generational time. So these energetic skills were really used a lot for survival. If you listen to Holocaust survivors, you listen to people who survived the civil rights movements, you listen to people who survived feminine, female rights situation, women's lib and all that. If you listen to their real backstories, you will find a lot of it was intuitive because none of it had been done before. Where does that come from? It wasn't just somebody thought up a great idea. It was part of an energetic evolution. We evolve energetically as we do physically. So this is that whole energetic side of things. So that being said, when we talk about the anatomy of the aha moment, the aha moment is when the non-physical and the physical French kiss for a second. Like this. Maybe not French kiss, like a quick kiss, but you get it. Like, wait a second, that was big. Right? Like, whoa, that was a like all of a sudden you got this glimpse of something bigger. Like it went beyond your normal constructs and it registered in your conscious mind. You have plenty of stuff going on non-physically, just like if you were going to turn on a radio, there's waves all around you. The only reason why you hear a station on the radio is because you tune into it and because you activate some crystals that are in the radio. So it amplifies the sound, right? So it's the same thing. You have energetic information all around you. It's a matter of, do you know how to tap into it or not? So there's always an answer. It's just your 3D mental mind can only go as far as it's been trained to go to access with deliberate intent. Now, you have to survive. So a lot of this stuff is all working, whether you know about it or not. That's how you are surviving. But now we're in a stage in our evolution as a society and our evolution as people, where we need to know consciously how to have more access to this whole vat of tools that we were born with. I call that energetic physiology. So we have our physical physiology, our intellectual side, but there's an energetic physiology that we need to build. So we're born with it. You don't have this special gift. This is not psychic development. This is not about going and doing predictions or talking to dead people or anything that's, of the occult. This is not what this is. This is how God answers prayers. I mean, Jesus did it, the Jews do it, the Essenes did, they all do it. Everybody has some sort of aspect of their formal religion that is getting the answers back. They call it prophecy in some of the religions. They call it they call it they have like genies in the Muslim religion. There's always these people who can kind of come back with the answer. It's not just the whole bunch of sheep asking the question. It's like, okay, somebody's got to bring the answer. Somebody's going to come back with tablets, turn into a burning bush, whatever it is. But somebody has to have some answers because there's too many people asking questions. I mean, it doesn't make sense. So, anatomy of the aha moment. So, we have five energetic senses in our body. So we have an overlay of, so we have our physical sight, our physical, touch and feeling. We have an energetic sight that's called clairvoyance, an energetic hearing that's called clairaudience, energetic knowing that's called claircognizance, an energetic feeling like in our solar plexus, like in our belly button area, we call that, I felt it in my gut, that's called clairsentience. Claircognizance. So we call those the four clairs. This is more, but this is the four clairs. So that's your energetic senses first. Your higher self, when it's getting a message to you, that first rung of the aha moment is it will always 100% of the time send it to one of those clairs first. Oh, just send it to all the four clairs, but you'll probably register most of us are stronger in one than the other. So you might get a deja vu, or you might hear lyrics of a song in your ear, and if you tune into it, you realize, wow, that's really like what I need to know, what I need to know right now, right? Or you get this feeling of lightness, like, oh, like yes, that's making sense to me. That feels right. Or you know how to do something without having been taught. You kind of just know. You have this knowing about something. That's your four, one of your four clairs. That's how they operate. So your higher self always starts there. Your physical body being the antenna that it is, right? Your physical body then has a response system. Your physical body will get goosebumps. It'll get a feeling of lightness. It'll get a feeling of heaviness. It might get a feeling of heat if it's, a negative thing. It might get a feeling of nausea, even just like, oh, my stomach sank. Oh, something. I don't know what it is. I went into this room and oh, it just, I don't know who was in there, but it just felt terrible. That's your physical body now responding to the energetic senses being tapped. So step one, energetic senses. Step two, body lets you know mail's in. There's a message here. Because it's trying to help you to have conscious 3D awareness. Oh, wait, okay. Switch over to that side of the dashboard. There's an energetic message coming in. So that's why you have a physical, you get the, oh, I got goosebumps. I'm covered in chills. Like, well, I feel it. My hair on the back of my neck is standing up. That's all part of this energetic communication loop. The third piece is that your higher self will then go out into an environment and send you signs, symbols, and synchronicities to prove that quote hunch that you got. So you'll say, oh my gosh, I was just, and there she is on Oprah. Well, I'll be damned. Like, oh, wait a second. I was just thinking about that car. It's not just the reticular activating system, although that's part of it, because that's on the physiological side. But it's also your higher self saying, okay, now we got the message through. Now we have to reinforce it. Now, signs, symbols, synchronicities, you feel like are quote coincidences, like sometimes if your mother passes away, it's like, oh, if every time you see a red cardinal, I know that's my mom. So then you'll see a red cardinal when you're on the highway. Your mom's trying to say, hey, I'm here. I know you're going to a heavy duty appointment and I'm here with you, that kind of thing. So that would be a sign or a symbol. My dad was in the army, so anytime I see the army sign on a car, it always has to do with something, has to do with my car, I know, oh, dad, okay, dad's here. That, so those are signs. Synchronicities are like kind of a synchronous events that happen, so they register with you. And then messengers, your higher self will send you other people to give you contextual messages. So yeah, you could see repetitive numbers like I'm always seeing 444 on the clock. I'm always seeing 220. That means something. Yes, it does. All that kind of thing. But sometimes you need a more contextual answer. So your higher self will send you someone like, do you realize you are a messenger for me today? I really needed to hear that. Well, that's all part of the anatomy of the aha moment. So that's the loop. That's the three-part steps. So can you trust it? Absolutely. Your higher self never ever is wrong, and it's never lies. Your 3D mind is what gets you into trouble. Remember, there's no blame, shame, guilt, fear, judgment, anxiety on the energetic side. That's all man-made constructs. I know that was long-winded, but that's really what it is.
So, I hate to admit this, but it really makes sense to me. My question now is, because we get busy, we don't acknowledge that. Is there a way that we can say, okay, like I've got this issue or whatever it is, and then like open the door or open the window to make sure these signs and messages get to us, get to our physical side?
Oh, absolutely. So, for the sake of brevity, because it's a show, I teach you the whole academies on how to do all this. But for the
Sorry.
sake of brevity, no. This is good. This is, I love it. I love that it's ringing a bell for you. The best way to start, first of all, is to just let it, like what you just did, is you listened intently and you said, whoa, wait a second, something feels right about that. That's registering for me. Wow, like you said, I hate to admit it, but that's really like, this isn't just, huh, this doesn't just sound like woo-woo. Like this is like, wait a second, that might actually connect some dots. So here's the second framework. The step-by-step framework is this. It's four C's: clear, connect, communicate, create. Clear, connect, communicate, create. So, one of the things I didn't mention when I was talking about your energetic dashboard is that it requires, just like your body requires hygiene, daily care and attention for your physical self, brushing teeth, showers, washing hair, and that kind of thing. Your energetic body requires as much energetic hygiene as your physical body does. Because if you, for instance, if you were going to get on your phone, you want a clear connection before you try to have a conversation. You don't want static. You want your screen to be clear so you can see all your apps and your buttons, right? And you start seeing thumbprints, oh, got to clean the phone, right? Clear. So the first thing you want to make sure you're doing is some sort of energetic clearing. And that could be anything from smudging, which is these things you can Google, to taking a hot salt bath or using some salt in the shower. That's kind of considered to be an energetic cleanser. So if you'd like have a Himalayan salt or something and you just scrub yourself with that, that's considered to be an energetic type of cleanse. That's a really simple, easy one. There's plenty of, you can go in all directions with energetic cleaning. So first you want to have a clear connection. Then you want to connect. Well, when I say connect, what I mean is, in order to use your phone, you want the phone to be clean, right? You don't want to catch anything from your phone. But then it has to be wired to something. It has to, the phone itself has to be charged. And there needs to be a Wi-Fi signal or a T-Mobile or a Verizon signal to run the phone. Otherwise, you just have a piece of metal and a lot of whatever's in there. So connect is the first, is the second one. The way that we connect is stillness, is to just shut up, basically sit and take a couple of deep breaths, Connect. Now, you can go as advanced or elaborate as you want with connection. You can go into these long meditations and visualizations, all that. But for the sake of brevity, really, honestly, you're always connected. We always have a built-in Wi-Fi for our energetic self. That's we're born with that. But when it comes to your consciousness accepting that and then stepping into using that, that's the connection I'm talking about. So that's why you want to go into a meditation. A meditation could be 60, it could be, a minute, it could be 10 minutes, it could be an hour, it could be 2 hours, it could be sitting in a cave, for 30 years. It could be, so there's all different levels of connection. But the more you spend on getting a good, strong connection, the easier it is for the next C, which is the communicate. Because you don't want to just hear yourself asking questions, you actually want to hear the answers coming back. If you don't have enough of a signal to carry the answers coming back because you're not connected, because you don't have your Wi-Fi and you got static going on because you're not clear, then you start doubting what you get. Like, can I hear you? What did you just say? No, wait. You sound like a robot. No. Yeah, no, I can't hear you. No. What? Okay, wait. No, I see. Oh, no, that was just one more. Well, just call me back, right? And you hang up. Let's try again. Let's try to get a better connection. So if you know you're going to be on a Zoom call, you're going into your office and saying, okay, Wi-Fi on? Yes. Dinging, blinging things off? Yes. Is my signal strong? Is it, whatever, the cable company paid, whatever it is, but this has to, like, we have to be connected. This isn't going to happen just from the computer by itself. So then the next piece is communicate. So if you have this signal going and you're receptive, then you'll start to be able to tell the difference between your intellectual mind that's always running the same, pretty much, 10 conversations in your head, and that other voice that's in there that's saying, forget about that. Why don't you try this? You're like, oh no, I want, I'm hearing, you get to, I think I need to write a book. And then somebody says, you really should write a book. And somebody else says, oh, you really should write a book. And then you see on TV, oh, there's somebody who's my age and looked like me, and she wrote a book. And now she's on, whatever. And you're like, oh, but you're meant to. So your higher self is saying, write the book, write the book. You know exactly what to write. It's in your notebook. You've been writing about this, but you, and your mental mind said, yeah, I think I need an agent and I need to get some education. Maybe I need to be certified in writing books. I need a degree in writing books. Well, I should have gone to Yale after all. I really should have studied English lit, but I didn't. And I studied nursing. And now, I mean, how am I supposed to write a book? I don't have a literary degree. Who's going to listen to the book? That's all mental mind. Your higher self is never going to say that to you. Your higher self, if you have the clear and the connection, is going to communicate, and then all of a sudden somebody will show up in your world and say, hey, I'm going to this writer's retreat in Vermont. And it's a, it's 4 days and it's going to be with other beginner writers. And we're all going to sit together and write the book. Do you want to go? What? Yeah, there's an extra spot. Somebody had to drop out. Really? Yeah. My treat. Come. What? Honey, I'm going to a writer's retreat. See you later. And off you go. And now you're in a room of other writers who are saying, I didn't know I could write, but here I am. And you're like, you go home, honey, I found my people. I gotta write, I'm writing the book. That's how your higher self works. Your higher self is a series of permission slips of yes or warnings. It lets you know when bad things are happening, but it's really, generally, it's always going to be that stiller, smaller voice that speaks repetitively and says, write the book, write the book. Not, well, if you wrote the book, then, Amazon's going to block it. You're going to be on the scarlet letter list. And well, you might as well, no, you need to be, you need an agent. And well, well, Sadie wrote that book and nobody bought it. Nobody wanted it. That's your mental mind. Right? So clear, connect, communicate. When you communicate and you start to get these, what we call downloads from your higher self, it gives you the create part. It gives you what we call inspired action steps to take. So you might say, okay, spirit, I'm going to write this book. All right, I'm open. And that's how you can invite this in, right? Here's a tool for you. You can say, you know what? She said, put some salt on me in the shower. Done. She said, sit down for 2 minutes and connect. Done. All right, here I am. Talk to me. And you hear, write the book. And, all right, well, give me a sign that I should write the book. And then, oh, now we're in Vermont at the writer's retreat. The writer's retreat, they say, okay, no, you don't really need an agent now, not with the way things have evolved in the publishing industry. And in fact, that would slow you down. And no, you don't even need to write the outline all by yourself because we have this thing called AI. And no, we don't, you know, you see, and you get with other writers and they start reading and then they start teaching you about writing lifestyle. Like, what's the lifestyle of a writer? Like, do you just do this? You have to stop your whole life to write the book? No, you write 5 pages a day, you know, this kind of thing. So your higher self is making it more efficient. And that's what we call inspired action steps. So instead of just trying to do everything, like throw everything up against the wall, the old-fashioned way, and the so we can quote legitimize ourselves so we can feel worthy of writing the book, we get the channeled way so that the book actually gets finished. Because at the end of the day, your higher self wants you to have something that's going out to the world for the greater good, as opposed to just proving to yourself that you could do it.
Okay, I'm going to go just slightly sideways now. And my next scenario is based on, I think it was your first communication with me. You said you found that women over 50 seem to have a big increase in access to their intuition. Your
Yes.
words, once we cross that 50 something and beyond threshold, all of those old infrastructures, like when our parents, peers, spouses, and even kids played a huge factor in our next moves or how we perceive ourselves, when those
Yes.
infrastructures give way, that is when the good stuff really kicks in. I'm going to just throw a little but in here. Oftentimes, those old infrastructures have robbed women of the knowledge of who they truly are. They identify only as mother, spouse, employee, whatever, daughter. Can you either tie it all together or break it down, whichever it takes?
Yes. So roles and identity are two different things. We come in here into our bodies as infinite beings where we have access to an infinite number of versions of ourselves and bigger conversation for another day. And from the energetic side of ourselves, anything is possible. So you can be whatever you want. From a physical side, though, in our 3D, remember I was talking about that 3D side of the dashboard. One of the things that would be included in there are roles, right? So you're going to be a mother, you're going to be a teacher, you're going to be a sister, you're going to be a cousin, you're going to be a nurse, you're going to be a doctor, you know, career person, you're going to be a philanthropist, you're going to be a vegetarian, you know, there's all these things. Those are your roles, and they are invitations for life lessons, really. They're containers for contribution and for lessons. The what you learn as much from your kids as you teach your kids, probably more. Those marriages, those are about as learning containers as you can get. You know, one, two, three, whatever it is, none, whatever. You know, your girlfriends, huge learning containers. Roles, right? So one girlfriend, depending on what time of life you're in, oh, one girlfriend, oh, you're the pretty one and the hot one, and she's the studious, homely one, you know, and then she gets the fancy guy, and you're like, wait, what? Because he didn't want his girl to cheat on him, and you're too pretty for him, so he's going to take her, you know, all this kind of stuff, right? There's these roles. The identities, though, is when you start to identify yourself as I am an infinite being who chooses these roles to participate in, that's when you start to step into your infinite self, right? My full identity is I'm an infinite being, as opposed to my identity is I'm a wife. So when you don't have access to your energetic articulation, right? Your energetic operating manual, you start to misinterpret what your identity really is. And the leading identity, and depending on your age range, your age group, your leading identity could be wife. Talk to the women who were married in the 50s and 60s. That was a big part of it. And if you miss, you're a spinster. Period. You're one or the other. You know, something's wrong with you. You're flawed if you're not married. That was part of that corridor of time. Now it's kind of like you're flawed if you are married. You know, in the 2025s, like me, you're married. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, like it's a very different. How long? Oh, how long was the marriage? Oh, it's still going on. Oh, very good. Oh, maybe not. Is it still good? Okay. You know, like it's not like it was back when my mother, you know, in the 60s and, you know, 70s, and it's a different, you know, it's a different thing. So, but if your identity, if your encyclopedia of potential identity stops at wife, you start to get lost. If your encyclopedia of potential identity starts as I'm an infinite being and I want to allow myself to experience various containers in my life, wife being one of them. But at the end of the day, I'm still my infinite self. I'm connected. I'm expansive. I'm worthy. The world is at my fingertips. I am empowered. I can pick and choose what I choose to do, what I want to do, and what I don't want to do. Right. So what happens is in our younger ages, when our parents are still alive, in many cases we're marching to please our parents, to make our parents proud, or to overcome our parents, whatever story you were in. But they still have a huge influence. And often, I mean, I have clients all over the world, and I can tell you the whole parental thing travels all the way through it. Because our first identity, man-made identity, is you're my kid. And you're part of the Russell family. And the Russells don't do that. Do you understand me? The Russells don't do that. The Joneses might do that, but the Russells do not do that. Okay. So you need to come over here and sit down because we don't act like them, right? So there's your identity is being kind of hijacked by the family crest, by the parents' identities. I am this kind of mother. My mother used to tell me, I am Jackie O and you are Caroline Kennedy. I'm like, what? You know what I mean? And you will wear patent leather shoes and whatever that kid had on, my mother was having it made. You know, it's again, another day's story, another day's conversation. And so our identities, when we start to get older, our parents pass away, or we realize, you know what, she was wrong. I'm not going to be oppressed by a man like my mother was. Oh, hell no, I'm not doing that. Or I found a better guy than my dad, or somebody who was just as great as my, you know, all this kind of thing. You start to find we separate, individuate in the psychological and the mental health world, we call it separation individuation, where you start to separate and individuate from the identity of your family being your primary. And you start to find your own voice. If you don't have access to your 5D catalog, that separation individuation gets stunted in man-made constructs of roles. And as you get older, that you step into the 40s and you realize, wait a second, all those frameworks, like that whole thing about I was supposed to have the golden retriever when I was 28 because I had the two kids and I was supposed to be married and with the two kids already and done with the birthing process by 31, and we're supposed to be doing dance recitals and my kids are not going to be transgender and I'm not going to be different and they're going to be healthy and it's all going to go like Lassie and you know all that starts to break down. Oh, my career. Oh my gosh, she stole my promotion. Oh, he fired me. Oh, he, you know, all those things that we thought were going to work for us. Oh, the government blew up. Wait, what? The government isn't doing that anymore. You got to be, what? The Social Security is gone. You know, don't get me started. So we have, don't get me started. I'm not going there. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. And so you have these identities that, these roles that have failed you. And then you ask the proverbial question. Who am I? And where do I fit in? And why am I here? And is this all that there is? And when you ask that question, your angels stop playing cards and they say, she's ready. She just asked the question. What? What? Put the cards down. No, we'll get back to it. Come over here. Let's look. And they look in and they say, what's she asking for? Can we help her? Because your higher self, can only go as far as your free will allow it. When God put free will down, and he had two choices of dashboards, 5D dashboard, infinite, keep the free will so you could kind of always do whatever you want, or the 3D side of that, the physical body, the intellect. Who gets the side of the free will where, what you have the final say is essentially free will? Gave it to the 3D side. So, your higher self can't drop you off a cliff. You get to say no, right? So you get your rights. You get your energetic rights. However, it's also then stuck into the side of you that's the most limited. So you can use it against yourself quite well. So if you say, I'm not listening to any of this because what she's talking about is woo-woo and crazy and I don't get it, then that's your free will. And guess what? Nobody's gonna nothing I can do. I just see here's the book. And then, you can take it or leave it on the nightstand or read it, one or the other, whatever you want to do, it's up to you. But there's the book, right? And so as 40 and 50 and 60-year-old, we come to those stages. Now, some kids get it earlier, but it comes through disappointment. It comes through the infrastructure isn't like fulfilling me. It might be like the church. I remember when I was going through my fiance passing away and some other things even leading up to that. I would go and sit in the Catholic church, not during mass. I would, because I was raised Catholic, but I would go sitting and searching, just like, okay. And they would read the gospel and it would sound terrifying, the thorns and blood and the spears and the things and the nails. And I was like, all I'm trying to do is understand why he didn't call me back. I don't know about the thorns and the blood and the Christ. And I just want to know, is he going to call me back? Am I going to have a husband? Like it didn't fit to colloquial life. And so as we get older, we step through and we say, you know what? I don't care anymore. I'm available to me. I want to pick my identity. I'm a woman. When I left corporate America, I had I don't know, 12, 15 years of in corporate in all different levels. And I was executive consultant. I was a vice president of all these different things. And I got a package and I got to leave. And I went down the highway with like my hands up in the through the sunroof, singing, I want to get away, I want to fly away with Lenny Kravitz at the top of my lungs, going down Route 287 in Jersey. I'm leaving AT&T. Like, and people were like, my mother's like, you left the phone company? Have you lost your mind? Everybody needs a phone. Now you're in the, I'm like, Ma, I'm self-employed. No, you're unemployed. No, I'm self-employed. No, I'm unemployed. That. So we went back and forth. But when people would say, okay, well, what are you gonna, the first thing they would ask me when I was corporate, who are you? Who are you with? And what do you do? And then they would introduce you to somebody. Oh, she's with AT&T and she does sponsorships and promotions so she can get you the money for your event. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get your name. What was your name? When I left that, they said, well, who are you? I'm like, who do you need me to be? I can be whatever you need me to be. I have an MBA. What do you need? A psychologist? I've got a degree in psychology too. What do you need? A spiritual? Yeah, I can do an angel reading. Oh, what do you mean? Oh, you do sport? Oh, yeah. I'm an equestrian. Yeah, I have horses. Oh, you like to dance? Oh, yeah. I'd like to dance too. Like, whatever you need me to be, I can be. I really don't care. People couldn't believe, but that's because I was taking my identity back. I was choosing my identity. Whatever role you need me to play so you can say, okay, I accept her. Knock yourself
You know
out.
what's interesting is I've called myself for decades now a chameleon.
There it is. Yeah. And as long as you have control over your chameleoning, you're good. But if you lose control over the chameleoning, you get lost. Right? Because you're just like chameleoning yourself. I've watched too much Wicked. I make up names. Chameleoning yourself to like, okay, this one needs me to do this. And then, but if you have a core identity, who you know, and this is what part, this corridor of age is for, right? This is where ideally you have your health and your prowess, enough experience that you have your mosaic pretty good there. You have your points of reference, your mosaic, and some accolades and things and some nice memories, but enough open space ahead of you that you get to self-identify, that you get to un Discover yourself. And when you have that fluent conversational relationship with your higher self, I have over 3,000 recorded messages in my phone where I've recorded from my higher self to myself in my phone, like I'm having a regular conversation. That's something I teach. And if I have a question, kind of like that Batman and Robin conversation, I say, oh, I've got this question, I've got this query, I've got this, I don't know. Okay, I'll do my channeling session. I'll sort it out when I talk to higher self. It's kind of like my own AI, right? And so when you work with that toolkit, then your mental mind, your energetics will take you as fast, if not faster than AI, because it's developed for you and it's not constructed from all the information anybody's ever put on the internet, and then these big machines are synthesizing it and then spitting it out at you, right? You've got a bigger AI. And one of the reasons why this conversation and this information and what I'm teaching is so important right now is because our technology in society has jumped massively. And in order for society to stay moving forward, the humanity has to leap with technology. When humanity lags behind technology, we get in trouble. That's what Atlantis is all about. And civilizations have been lost over that, where technology jumps out ahead of the heart space of humanity. So you'll find, I don't even know why I'm going down this path, but I'm just getting told to say it. You'll find that anytime we've had a major atrocity, we also have a major opening of the heart. Look at 9/11. When we had the hijackings and the Pan Am airplanes, I'm really aging myself right now. But the how society revved up from that, how many hijackings in the United States have we had since then? Like because we got awareness and it was addressed. We had now all of a sudden, like Homeland Security was not Homeland Security prior to 9/11, the way it was post 9/11. Right. So we all it, so that set of people that left the planet at that time gave billions of people later on safety, way more safety than they would have had pre-September 11th. Right. And so now we're coming up through this quarter of AI. Now we're coming up through this quarter of the internet really being pretty rogue with cryptocurrencies and social media and the way information is weaponized, the way we have these soft things happening, the weaponization of things that we consider to be benign, like communicating, like setting forth an idea and having it mutate because you can keep pumping the same idea into system. So if you're not, if in what happens when you're on overload, you tune out, you numb out, and you miss out. So when you have your connection to your higher self can help you to navigate. When I watch the crazy news that we have now, I can say crazy, 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 that. Now I can emote with that. But not emote, 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 or numb, 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 or just, I'm not listening. I'm closing my eyes. I'm not listening. Like, so then you're really vulnerable. Like when you have your higher self will say, this one, take a beat. This one, make a phone call. This one, forget that. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. This, right? This is gonna be different for all of us because of who we are, our own identities. Maybe it's part of your mission. Maybe there's something that really jerks you, and you say, you know what? I've never been one to get on a march. I've never been one to make a phone call for this. No, just no. This isn't okay. It doesn't even have to do with me. It's just not okay. I'm stepping up for this. I don't care. Or we're gonna go plant that garden after all, honey. Get the seeds. Let's go. Whatever it is. Right? But the level of empowerment you have when you can work with all of your operating systems instead of just a portion of one. And those big invitations to step into that energetic side generally happen, once we've gotten through the roles that we're so conditioned and that society rewards us for. And so we feel safe and comfy and, you know, like we belong. I find that I call them the misfit toy people, like myself, are just different, you know. They get this stuff way sooner. At the end of the day, they end up being way less vulnerable than the ones who always fit in because they have much more access to their power. So, yeah, I don't know if that answered your question about
I can't even
the
remember what I asked, but
four.
I'm just loving your words because I don't know, listeners, whether you're tuning into this, but I'm just seeing so many things that in my own life and my own self, I maybe have come this far, but I haven't gone, I'm using hands here, listeners, that far. So yeah, it's just
So
great.
much.
Unfortunately, I'm looking at the clock.
Yeah, I know. I was too.
You wrote books.
Yes.
Talk to us about your books.
Well, I actually have them. The first one I wrote was The Aha Factor. So that was the very, I wouldn't even say you have to start with it because I wrote this a little bit a while ago. This is this one. And that one is a primer. It's called How to Use Your Intuition to Get What You Desire and Deserve. That was kind of the baseline primer. I evolved from that and wrote the second book 6 years later. And that's the latest book. And that's called Beyond Intuition. And it's the missing handbook to mastering your energetic abilities for truly transcendent living. And that's this one. And you can go to beyondintuitionbook.com, and that's where you can get that. The other one, beyondintuitionbook.com, will have the links and everything to get that. The most recent book, which goes through everything I was talking about today in great detail. And even goes through a step-by-step process of how to get your first message from your higher self. And, you know, it really, it gets into the frameworks and all of that. So yeah, I would highly recommend if this resonated, I wrote that book for you. And I actually wrote it shorter than the first book. My first book was traditionally published, and my publisher said, it has to be 55,000 words. I'm like, ah. My second book, I'm doing it my way, and it's nice. It's easy. It's an afternoon. You know, it's a quick read. It's gotten really good reviews so far. People have been really enjoying it, and I'm very proud of it. But it's a tool that I think everybody needs to have. The nice thing is, you know, when you're my focus in my practice is to get you as fluent in your intuitive and energetic abilities as you are in your intellectual abilities and your physical abilities, and integrate the two so you can operate with full operating power. And that's actually a lot quicker of a process than learning the 3D stuff, you know, like from birth, right? So 17 seconds of energetic focus is equivalent to 3 hours of physical work. 17 seconds of energetic frequency focus is equivalent to 3 hours of physical work. So it's not going to take you as long to catch yourself up energetically with your energetic senses as it did to learn all the things we had to learn in walking the physical world. But it is the secret sauce, especially in our age range where we've got enough wisdom now and enough courage to say, no, nah, I'm not doing that anymore. Go away. You know what I mean? So you could, I like this. I'm focusing on this. And people don't argue so much. Ah, she's old. She does whatever she wants. That's right. You know, that's what they, you know, but yeah, so those are the two books. But Beyond Intuition is the one I think that if this resonates with you, you're going to go straight to
That's
and I
great.
talk about the aha moments in both of the book. Like there's certain basics that I talk about in both because they are the frameworks of everything.
Okay. I came into this chat with you with pages of notes because I knew nothing about what you were talking about. And as you were talking, I am sort of scrolling down going, well, I don't really need to ask that question because somehow you've answered it. So that I really appreciate that. That's great. Okay, the website is beyondintuitionbook.com. Social? Are you on social?
You can find me on at Mariana M. Cooper on Facebook and Mariana M. Cooper on Instagram. And oh yes, I just started a YouTube channel. See, I've been so busy writing books, I have not been building on social media all that much. But I am. That's my next task. But the YouTube channel is also it, actually the new the YouTube channel is High Frequency Living with Mari. High
Okay.
Frequency Living with Mari.
Are you on Blue
And
Sky?
adding more videos to that.
You're on Blue Sky now too, are you?
I am on Blue Sky. Yes, I am on Blue Sky. I don't want to, I don't know what I put on Blue Sky. But all of the socials are on beyondintuitionbook.com. So it's kind of all encapsulated on that site. So you'll be able to click on a link and get to
Okay.
me. Like,
I'll list
so.
them. You also have a podcast. Tell us what we could find on your podcast.
Oh, wow. So the Aha Moments radio show is my baby since 2010-ish, nine, 2010. And it's on Apple podcast. I have this year it is on hold. There's hundreds of episodes. So if you listen on Apple, and I talk about this stuff on it, I am starting a new podcast. It's going to be a sister to that one, and it's called High Frequency Living with Mari. So that will be actually launching in September. But if you want to listen to episodes, they're all on, a couple hundred of them are on Apple. I had plenty kind of prior to that. And it's a fun show because that one for the very first for the beginning of when I was doing that show, I did a lot of interviews, a lot of Michael Beckwith and James Lampraga, big people. And then I switched over to teaching. So those shows are kind of like almost like mat little master classes on things. And so those have been well received. And the new podcast that'll be coming out in after because right now I'm on this side of the mic doing all the guesting, but in September I'll go back to the other side of the mic and start to host. I really want to develop that to be kind of like Joanna Gaines and High Frequency Living kind of have a baby. Like where it's like where it's like fixer upper, like high frequency travel and high frequency cooking and high frequency healing and high frequency parenting. Like how do you incorporate this frequency-based perspective into the things that are important to you in your own lifestyle? And to really so we go more into the integration process instead of just keeping in theoretical, ideological. I want you to be able to understand how, like I feel my way through what podcasts I accept to be a guest on. I feel my way through what I wrote to you when I, wrote to you about being on your show. I feel my way through what I'm going to put on or what color, what I'm going to eat, whether it's going to be a protein shake or a boiled egg. Like your body whispers to you too, So I wanted to create a platform and a lifestyle brand that would really help people to adopt this full version of living as opposed to just half dashboard. And it's really fun. Like it's this is the thing. This is the
Oh,
thing.
that is so good. Okay, before we close, may I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Now, you've already touched on this, but I want credit for digging deep.
Okay.
Horse,
Oh
horses and dressage.
God. Oh, don't get you're gonna extend this thing. What do you want to know?
You've just answered the question. It's like, ah!
Oh yeah. My mare Farah is my heart, and one of my people little known things that people know about me is I import horses from Europe and dressage sport horses for amateurs coming back to the saddle. I focus on like life was always going to bring you second chances, and I work with women mostly over 40 who are coming back for the second chance at their dream, and a lot of the trainers say, oh no, get a young horse that I can train and show and on your dime. And I said, no, you're going to get the horse that's perfect for you that you dreamt about all your childhood. So I've brought over about seven horses for women. And I've actually even helped horses. I do a little bit of humanitarian work too with the wars and stuff. I've brought horses out of Tel Aviv and out of Ukraine and stuff to help them get out, to safety and stuff. And yeah, so in dressage, I've been riding horses since I was 11. I've had horses somewhere, and was very I'm very very avid dressage rider. And I so Farah, I got her 4 years ago, and she's my heart and soul. So do you ride?
I rode all through my teens. Same
Okay.
thing. Yeah, dressage, jumping, that sort of thing. And haven't been back on since. I mean, life happened and it often costs money to ride.
That's right. That's right. So people like you, when they come back and like, where do I start? You can feel like what your body could do when you were 15. And I mean, I used to event and do the hunter jumpers and all that stuff too.
I still have
And
my outfit. I've got my
outfits.
pants.
So it's time to get back in the saddle. If you're asking, then what's the call in your back?
There you go. Well,
Once
I
is a
can't fit into the outfit anymore, but that's
Well,
okay.
yeah, you don't want to be honest. They've changed the fabric so much. The technology of the saddles, the fabrics, the breeding programs, unbelievable what they have now versus when we were kids.
Is that
Yeah,
righty?
for sure.
Oh dear. Okay, I'm just gonna add that to the list.
Oh, yeah, no. Call me. I
Okay.
can help you get started back into the horses. You don't have to buy a horse, but I could definitely help you navigate through that process, because it's no joke when you come back to it and your body can't quite do it, and you have more responsibilities, and you're like, oh my God, the ground does look farther away than it ever did when I was a kid. It's a thing. It's a thing. But life will always bring you second chances. Have to know that. You will always get another opportunity. Your higher self, these are again containers, containers of not just learning, but containers of love, containers of receiving. So if you're feeling like the horses are calling you back, then it's time to, get going. Even if it's just to go and groom them or just hang out and then find your way back into let the saddle call you back to it. But horses, you don't have to be sitting on them to feel and connect. And I've learned that from my mare. She's my heart. Like that, there's just, that's gonna be a pretty
I'm at a stage of, or in a stage of my life where I'm doing a lot of house sitting, and you can see a whole bunch of books behind me. The top row is all about horses because the woman who lives here has ridden all of her life. So,
Wow.
yeah, it's
So
kind of
again,
nice.
see, you're in the horse pool already. So you have to go after that. There's a big synchronicity with that. They're calling you back.
Okay, your website link is in the show notes. All of your
Great.
links are on your page at our website.
Excellent.
Listeners, if you have thoughts on today's show, please talk to us. I enjoy and appreciate subjects like we discussed today, even if I don't always understand, although I was so thrilled to feel good about some of the things you're saying because it was like, oh, yeah. Now,
Awesome.
perhaps you're in the same boat, where you're learning or it did something rang a bell. So leave comments where you're listening. If you're listening at Boom with a Bang, scroll to the bottom of the page, talk to us there. Or maybe there was a question I didn't ask, Mari. Ask it in the comments and I'll get you an answer. Share this episode. Mari explained that we over 50s are ripe for our energetic side to take the lead. Let's do that with a friend or three. If you enjoyed this conversation, click the follow button at your favorite podcast platform. It helps us grow. I'm also registered at Substack. Following there is free, and you'll get notified every time an episode is released. Mariana Cooper, Mari, thank you for being my guest today and explaining 5D frequency, the aha moment, everything so well. I was just so thrilled to be able to follow what you were saying. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much for having me. I am absolutely thrilled to have done it. And this was so much fun, so much fun. And just trust and know there's so much more out there. You're so much closer than you think. Really, really good stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great rest of the week.